Guys. I am happy to inform you that I just went on Twitter and a tweet that I tweeted 17 hours ago now has 5 retweets and 47 favorites. Now, I'm not saying I'm famous, but like, I'm fucking famous. What a fucking good way to start the show. Hi, everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to Jappy Jaws. It's your girl, Lindsay. Lindsay who? Lindsay Moraskin, of course. God, that sounded like something I say to my little cousin. Shit. But hi, everybody. Welcome back to Jappy Jaws, our 6th episode. I'm so fucking excited to be here. I have so much that I want to talk about, so much to say, and it's gonna be like a fun episode this week. I feel like lately I've been a little bit sad, a little bit morbid. Guess what? We're in for a treat. Now, before I jump in, initially this episode wasn't going to be a funny one. Why, you may ask? Because for the last like few days, I have been running back and forth with ideas, as you guys could see through my polls on the lovely Instagram that sometimes you don't answer. People, answer the fucking polls. I love when I talk to you people. Otherwise, I'm gonna have to text some people to reach out to other people and then have them reach out to other people. Just answer the polls and tell your friends to answer the polls. But I did love whoever did reply. I was just running back and forth. I was like, oh, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. Blah, blah, blah. And like I said a few episodes back, I have a hard time narrowing down when I can say something or when I could do something. Does that make sense? I just have so many different ideas. I'm like, oh my God, I have to get it all out at once. But time is of the essence. This is my show. I can do it whenever the fuck I want. So I was like, you know what? I feel like I've been hitting the heartstrings a little much lately, talking about some things, getting a little deep. For now, we're high spirits. Alright, everybody? How is everybody doing? I hope everybody's doing well. It's been like a really gross week. Nothing too exciting going on in my life, honestly. Let's see. I did vote. My first time voting. I didn't turn 18 till a month after the election 4 years ago, so you can only imagine how upset I was. My friend and I went on Tuesday, and we were able to do early voting. We only waited like 2 hours, which seems like nothing compared to what other people in New York City have had to wait, in Pennsylvania, whatever. I honestly thought I'd feel a little bit more invigorated, but I want to blame it on the fact that they didn't give me a fucking sticker that said I voted. I was so looking forward to that. And obviously, yes, it is much more than just the sticker, because I do encourage you all to vote. Use your voice. If you're of the age of 18 and over and you registered, get the fuck out to the polls and do your thing. And if you get a fucking I voted sticker, tell me how they gave it to you or who gave it to you, because I want to talk to someone. And who gives them out? Because I wanted one and I didn't get one. I would get them when I would go with my mom and my grandma when I was younger, so I don't know why the fuck they wouldn't give it to me now. Even an old man that was next to me, like finishing up the ballots, was like, I don't get a sticker? That's exactly what saying, dude. So that was exciting. You know, we're gonna jump right into certain things. So this weekend, my sister, to give you a little bit of backstory, my sister has a very tight-knit group of girls. There are 5 of them, and then one of their little sisters is always there too, which basically means there's 6 of them. But you know what I'm saying? They're a very tight-knit group. I love them all equally. They are just truly such an amazing group of girls, and they are such good friends. They literally live, breathe, die each other. I have my own group chat with them. It's a lot of fun. Some of them have older siblings that I went to high school with, so it's funny. This weekend, 2 of them and the little sister, you know, she's part of the friend group, 3 of them came over, and we had initially said, because I don't know about anybody else, but back in the day, back in the olden times, Lindsay here was a huge One Direction fan, immensely. I went to so many different concerts, and when I say that, I went to like 2 or 3. I watched every movie, like the 3D thing, every interview. I remember the night that my friend introduced me to them. She was like, you don't know who One Direction is? We were in 7th grade. And I was like, no, we were having a sleepover. The entire night, we just watched YouTube videos of them on the X Factor and listened to all their songs. And she's like, I claim Niall. And I was like, well, I claim Liam. Like, I literally, her name in my phone is still Liam, my love pain, because I just cannot get rid of it. We once waited outside their hotel together. Yeah, I was pretty dedicated and I was a bit much. I get it. But I've always loved them. I listen to songs constantly still. And one of my sister's friends is also very much obsessed with them and boy bands. And so we always talk about that. We relate with that. Anywho, back in the day when I was in high school, when Wattpad was beyond popular and fanfic were a big thing, was when After came out. And for those of you that don't know, After was a fan fiction originally written about Harry Styles and had members of One Direction's written into it. It was written by Anna Todd, beautifully written. It was probably my first introduction to sex, and it prepared me for 50 Shades of Grey and all that type of shit. Introduced me to a whole new world of like what sex really is, I guess, because it gets graphic. And let me tell you, there were some times I had to put my phone down because I was like, oh, it's getting hot in here. Anywho, so Anna Todd wrote it and it got picked up by Netflix 1.5-2 years ago, and they made it into a Netflix movie. And then initially it was supposed to come out in theaters, the second movie of the franchise. But obviously with Corona, it was only in select theaters, or you could watch it on Apple TV, Video On Demand, etc. So we had all made a plan that we were going to watch it together. Well, first of all, these little shitheads all watched it before I did. And I was like, I was waiting for you guys. They were like, sorry, we had to. All right, whatever. Let me tell you, I am never watching a movie with 16-year-olds again, especially one that includes sex scenes. First things first, the entire time, they're just like, oh, wait, this is a bad part. Oh, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my, oh, this is a cute part. Oh my God. Crying and laughing. They do that weird, like, little dog noise. It's hysterical. I don't know why they do it. They just fucking do it. The entire time, they're just making all these comments. And I'm like, can you people shut up? And I didn't even want to rewind. I just couldn't pay attention. There was just so much going on. And then the sex scenes, of course. Now listen, I understand we all act very similar at that age, kind of sometimes, some people, when it comes to sex, because you're just like, oh my God, look at that. Because in this movie, you quite literally see, well, they had to change the names for the movie, obviously. So Harry Styles' character's name in the movie is Harden, Harden Scott. So you quite literally see Harden insert himself and thrust Tessa, the girl, love interest. And it's all this other stuff. You watch her ride him. It amazes me how some of these shows pull it off without them actually having sex. I used to watch the show Power that's on Stars. My roommate and I would literally look up because they're nude the entire time. Like, I've seen so many of those actresses' nipples, more than I would like to, honestly. But you literally watch them. We were in awe. We were like, how are they not having sex? It was just very real. But once the two characters started having sex or things got hot and steamy, it was endgame for these girls. Her one friend that I'm sitting next to, I'm on the end, her one friend's in the middle, and the other's on the other side. She takes a fucking pillow, covers her ears, is putting my hand over her eyes, and everybody's just making all these sounds and going, oh my God. I go, well, you people need to grow up, because guess what? When you get a boyfriend and you're older, this is what you're gonna have to do. Getting so uncomfortable. And I understand, yes, they're 16. I'm also like the big sister they never have. All of them have brothers, or they are the oldest girl. So I quite literally have six little sisters. And I feel a responsibility as if to not educate, but if they have a question that they're not comfortable asking their parents or a sibling, and they want to talk to me, I am more than happy to oblige. But I'm like, girl, you need to calm down. This is fine. And I'm just like sitting there laughing, going, like wishing it was me, obviously, too, but going all crazy. Her one friend's getting all red in the face. The other one's like, oh my God. And I'm just like, girls, relax. So after they left, I rewatched the movie because even though, like, I was able to understand because I also read the book and I also was able to comprehend a lot of it, I wanted to enjoy it for myself, too. And it was a really good movie, honestly. I enjoyed it, but I'm never watching a movie with them again. I love them. They're the best. They're like family to me. My sister is very lucky to have them, and they're very lucky to have my sister, but I will never watch a movie like that again with them. One time, actually, this is another funny story, during quarantine, when nobody, literally nobody was leaving the house, every night we'd be on FaceTime with each other. I like didn't want to talk to my friends. I had so much more fun talking to them sometimes, because the way 16-year-olds operate as opposed to 20-something-year-olds that operate, very different. And it's interesting to see the dynamic and how different it really is. We would play crazy eights, we would do all this different stuff. So they like to play this little game called Truth or Truther. So basically, it's not truth or dare, it's you either tell the truth or you're fucked. Really, honestly, you have no choice. So like I said, I'm like the older sister they never had, so they asked me certain questions. Some of the stuff I'm like, I'm gonna be honest with you if you really want me to, because like I want them to feel comfortable. I want to be that person for them. I offered to play into this game. I wanted to be here. So now they do still ask me questions. Maybe sometimes they try not to and I just get myself involved because I love them and I'm very protective, but that's how it goes. But that being said, I'm never watching a movie with them again. Aside from watching After with them, I don't know what provoked me to just binge the show. But let me tell you, I felt so motivated and somehow moved. I don't know why. I was watching the Netflix series special thing that they have, My Next Guest with David Letterman, where he interviews all these different celebrities and everything like that. He's interviewed Barack Obama, he's interviewed Tiffany Haddish, Ellen DeGeneres, George Clooney, you name it. So I watched a bunch of them, and two of them were Kanye and Kim's interviews. They were separate, they weren't together. And yes, everybody knows my opinion on the Kardashians for the most part, and I know everybody else has their own opinion on the Kardashians and on Kanye, as do I. But let me tell you, if you haven't watched any of these interviews, first of all, David Letterman is an excellent interviewer, and he, I think, just makes everybody feel very comfortable, knows how to and knows what to ask and how to ask it in the right way where someone's not going to take it in a different route, and how he's also going to get the truth out of them. I think from watching these interviews, a lot of what, especially Kanye, they do makes so much more sense, okay? Now, I know that sounds a little weird, weird. Trust me, if you haven't watched it, watch it. It is so, so, so beyond interesting. And I think it really shows different sides than what you're used to seeing, obviously. Like, Kanye just did his whole thing with Joe Rogan. Excellent. Whatever. To each their own opinion. Kim always does her interviews. You see it all the time on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. But this is just something that is so different and taken on such a different route. I think these people, the celebrities, whether that's Kim and Kanye or Barack Obama or George Clooney, they feel as if they're able to express their true, authentic selves through him and be able to have that interview without feeling forced. Does that make sense? I don't know. I just thought it was really great. I think everybody should watch it. I would love to be interviewed by him or to even interview him. So David Letterman or anybody of his people, let me know if you want to interview just a random jappy gal from Long Island, New York, baby. Other than that, that was really exciting and interesting to watch. Another big thing that happened this weekend, not that it happened to me, but it was just a thing that happened. I've been seeing a lot of reboots lately. And now, before I talk about what came out this weekend, this is my take. I feel like a lot of movies or musicals or TV shows always somehow have a reboot, a sequel, prequel, something else made to carry the legacy on. And as you all know, if you listened to a few episodes back, I am obsessed with Boy Meets World, and I tried to watch Girl Meets World. It just wasn't the same. I just think sometimes sequels or reboots of certain things just aren't necessary. I'm not sure if anybody else feels that way, but I just think that if it's already chef's kiss and it's something that a lot of people already enjoy, and you really can't do it again or find another way of making it work, why play with what you already have? Because honestly, as much as we love our shows and we hate to see them go, I'll rewatch it all I want. But if there is a sequel, I don't think there's many that I've actually truly liked. I think one of them that I think has been successful, took a different route, but it had that home base, was the 90210 sequel from Beverly Hills 90210. And they did incorporate all the former characters, but they truly made the new era of them when it was on very modern and up to date. And I think they did a good job with it. I enjoyed watching it when it was on. But this weekend, we saw on Twitter that the Zoe 101 cast was coming together. And it had all these TikTok stars like Noah Beck, Charli D'Amelio, JoJo Siwa, all these random people and former castmates. And I'm just sitting here like, what the hell is going on? And then there's this whole new version of the song that's the theme song, and it's called Follow Me. It is terrible. I hate to sound like that because I was such a Zoe 101 gal back in the day. But with something like that that's so old, and I'm still not forgiving her for it ending the way it did because of her pregnancy, I think that if you reboot this, whether it's the song, and some people were like, oh, I hope this gets picked up. I really don't. I feel like, especially in the time that we live now, it is gonna get botched beyond belief, and it's not gonna be the same thing. It's not gonna have the same flavor. I want pair pads to stay back then. I don't need the pair pads now. What was that, like, razor phone thing that they also had? It was something cool. I really wanted one. They had those mopeds. You cannot bring that into 2020 and 2021 and beyond. Let it sulk and be as iconic as it was. I always used to say, oh, I would kill for a Hannah Montana reunion. I still would in some era. Like Miley Cyrus has said in the past, she would want to do it as a raunchy version. Why ruin what's already good? I just don't understand that. Then I saw that Saved by the Bell has a whole new way of doing it with Zach and Kelly being part of it as well. And the trailer commercial for it, I was like, the fuck is this? Why are we, like, trying to redo what's already good? Yes, you can have a home base like how 90210 did, whatever. In a way, you're almost making it look bad by adding all these weird new quirks to it, making it modern and what you think is modern, some of these producers are saying. And in my opinion, it's just bad TV. I loved Pretty Little Liars. Well, I had a love-hate relationship. But when they kept doing all those sequels and everything like that, like Beyond A and everything, and it got canceled, there's a reason, because it's not Pretty Little Liars. You're dragging out a type of series and story that does not need to be dragged out more than it already is. I just think things just need to stay in the past if they were good enough. If you want to use it as the home base, like I said, go for it. All here for it. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. I'll watch it. I'll review it. But that flavor, it's not going to be there. It's not going to be the same. Okay? So that's on that. But aside from that, I hope everyone has an exciting weekend coming up. Everybody knows my favorite, can you sense the fucking sarcasm I have there? My favorite holiday that's coming up this weekend is Halloween. And obviously Halloween this year is going to be a lot different, but everybody just stay safe and be kind. Okay? Oh, that was nice of you, Lindsay. I know I keep talking about it and everything, but this is really going to be like the last that I'm going to talk about it. I was thinking Halloween, yes, is so much fun. And like, I love costumes. I think they're funny. I think when people get really creative, celebrities included, I think the Kardashians, can they just be my friend at this point? I bring you up so much. You might as well just be like, hey, let's get a cold cup of 42. What's the sound? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I think they always do a phenomenal job. Heidi Klum, obviously. There are some costumes that I know I'm sick of seeing and that other people are sick of seeing. And I'm curious to see what people do this year if they do dress up. I know for me, I am going to be dressing up on Friday and on Saturday. Friday, I have my friend's Halloween costume birthday party, so I'm going to dress up for that. And then honestly, I kind of thought of this second costume on a whirlwind, and I kind of might just make my sister take a picture of me just to post it because I'm that thirsty attention whore bitch, and I don't really care. But there definitely are some costumes that I'm really sick and tired of seeing because not that they're just overdone, but people just try to make it so much more than it is. We get it. You're an angel. We get it. You're a devil. We get it. You're a fireman. I was talking to a lot of other people, and people were saying they're sick of seeing Hugh Hefner and House Bunny costumes. Personally, I like it. I think it's funny and it's interesting. Yes, it's overdone, but I think it's something that is just going to be a classic, especially since he died. I remember that year at college, there was like three different weekends, three different house parties dedicated to Hugh Hefner. Some other people were saying they're sick of seeing The Purge with the mask. Honestly, though, I think a lot of people overspend too, which I think is a major problem because when are you realistically going to wear that costume again? And also, especially if you're taking it for the gram or whatever you want to post it on. If you were to dare tell someone, like myself even, oh, why don't you just do that again? Hell fucking no, I'm not repeating a costume. Who do you think I am? Someone said that they were sick of seeing the Powerpuff Girls. I feel like I haven't seen a lot of girls do it. And if they have, they didn't pull it off well. So I'm waiting for someone to really fucking outdo that costume for me to be like, okay, it's done. You can't overdo it again. But I think at the end of the day, as you get older, especially once you want to get all hot and sexy with your costume, it just comes down to it being easy and how much you can't wear at that point without being too revealing. I used to think I was like the queen of Halloween for some reason. I always thought my costumes were to die for. And honestly, I still think so. My freshman year, pretty basic. I was a cop and a hockey player. In college, Halloween is a weekend activity. Sophomore year, I was Gucci gang. I don't know what that was. I'm sorry. And then I was Dunkin' Donuts girls, which was like sexy Hooter girls, but for Dunkin' Donuts. My junior year, I was Kim Kardashian. But let me tell you, that dress got attention. It was the dress she wore, well, the knockoff, to Kylie's 21st. And then I was a genie with my roommate. And then senior year, I really went out with a bang. I was a schoolgirl one night, and I actually wore Maria, bachelorette friend Maria, her Catholic school skirt, which was a look. Honestly, I never thought my college career would get there. And then the second night, I was like, all right, last year of college, going out with a bang. I was Post Malone, but like sexy Post Malone. And we ended up going to this huge bar place that's in Philly. And we all dressed up, and no one else in the building dressed up. There was a Flyers game going on. I was literally the only Post Malone in the room. But let me tell you, I looked fucking good. Those tattoos, my roommate fucking killed it, okay? It was on Amazon, but she put it on my face in the right places. This year, I'm kind of being basic again, but you will see if I continue the trend of being the AKA Halloween queen. And then after this weekend, I hope to not talk about Halloween for a very, very long time. I like Halloween. However, I'm over Halloween. It's time to move on. Speaking of moving on, I'm very excited for this next segment I'm about to give you. And you're probably like, well, yeah, because the title of this episode hints at it. So like I said in the beginning, I wanted to make this week a little bit more lighthearted, a lot funnier, a lot more engaging. So once again, Lindsay took it to the fucking streets. I was at home this weekend and I was thinking to myself, because my life sucks and I do nothing anymore. I mean, obviously we're not really able to do much anyway, but I was thinking about college and my tolerance and drinking and getting high and all that fun stuff that I miss so much. Not like I can't do it now, but I just have no desire. Like, it's not gonna do much for me blacking out in my bedroom. I mean, maybe I should do it and then record. That would be fun if I recorded the podcast drunk as hell. All right, maybe. We'll talk about it at a different time. I was talking about it with my friends and I was like, you know what? I have so many funny stories and so many of my friends' stories to tell. And I was like, let's get some drunken high boys and girls and let's talk about tolerances. Let's talk about our favorite drunk memories, blackout memories, high as a motherfucking kite memories. Because also, let's be realistic. I don't know what percent of people, but a majority of people, especially the ones that I know, love partaking in the alcohols, in the marijuanas, whatever. I'm gonna be upfront with you. Everybody knows I drink. I love drinking. I don't do it as often as like I would at school. I also don't think I really need to when I'm home. It's a lot of calories. I haven't done it as much as I used to, I should say. And I used to be a major pothead. I'm not gonna lie. I haven't really smoked, especially with Corona. I'm a little freaked out because I usually like taking bong rips and shit like that, but I'm not putting my mouth on anything or whatever. I don't have a bong. I also, like, I have no desire to do that. Maybe an edible, but I haven't even done that. I live with my parents. Like, the one time that my mom caught me, she was just like, that's not cool, Lindsay. Okay, Lindsay? I think throughout the years, I have just curated so many stories and so many experiences that I still am not sure about a tolerance or what a tolerance is. I think I surprise myself every time I partake in drinking and I partake in getting high. I've never done anything more than weed. I think maybe one time something was laced with something, but that's just me in my head. It's not that I'm against it. Knowing me, I'm just a scaredy cat, and I know I'm like that one person that would get fucked from it. I was like, all right, let's share it with my people, my jars, my jappy gals and boys. Guys, you gotta go and tell my friends here about the shit that I've seen, the shit that I've been through, that my friends have been through. So without further ado, let's get some drunk and high, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. That was a lot of different ways of saying boys and girls, but you know what I mean. Okay, everyone. So before I get into the drunk and high stories featuring me, myself, and I, and the people, the listeners, my friends of Jappy Jaws, I just want to give a quick little disclaimer. By no means is me sharing this telling you to go out and do this. Do whatever you want, drink, smoke, whatever the hell you do. This is just me being funny and explaining my opinion and how I feel about the situation. Am I going to encourage you to go out this weekend and get fucked up? Absolutely, if you want to, as long as you're staying safe. But just remember that this doesn't need to be you. You know what I'm saying? Stay true to yourself, your original drunk high self, you know? I think another big thing that I want to talk about before I get into it is tolerance. Now, everybody goes back and forth with what their tolerance is, and yes, it does come with experience with how much you've drank and smoked in the past, you know what I'm saying. But everyone's is different, and everybody keeps making the whole quote-unquote joke of, oh my god, my tolerance went down because of quarantine, I'm not going out and drinking as much, blah, 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 which I do agree with to an extent because a few months ago, I did black out on an entire bottle of Patron, and I don't really know how that happened considering in college, I would down double bottles of wine and champagne and not black out every single time. Sometimes I would, but sometimes I would. It just doesn't make sense to me. Yes, different liquors, alcohols, whatever. I think tolerance is something that changes with people with time, and I think with age, and I think with our bodies. So I don't really know if tolerance is really a thing anymore. I think it's a myth, honestly. I'm happy to hear why people think otherwise. But without further ado, I have some funny fucking stories. Now listen, everybody. This might not be everybody's forte, and I understand that, but this is just for your listening pleasure and my take on it and my reactions. Some of these stories I've heard before, some of them I haven't, and then there are some that are mine. I don't want to say that I've seen it all, but this is truly going to be a reaction and reminisce. So if you want a good belly laugh, keep listening. Well, you see, going back in my day, my lovely ways, not like I don't fucking do any of it anymore. I don't even know what type of drunk I would describe myself. I always see those TikToks or the memes or the tweets saying, which drunk are you? I've taken BuzzFeed quizzes. I feel like I just go through all of them. I've been in so many situations where I've had different experiences with what happens when I drink. There have been times when I've ended up going skinny dipping. There have been times where I've ended up throwing up in the bathroom. In the picture I posted on Instagram, I've ended up in a plastic bag. One time when my ex-boyfriend came to visit me at college, we both were super fucked up. A few hours later when we sobered up, I realized I had a ring of hickeys around my neck. I don't know how it happened. I'm scarred for life because of it. There have been instances where I've ended up in a bathtub. I think that every single time you just never know what you're going to get. You guys know about the entire story where I blacked out on bottomless mimosas. Every single time, it's something different. So I think that's an interesting perspective to kind of take on this when it comes to drinking. However, my experience with smoking is a tad different, okay? I want to tell you guys about the first time that I ever participated in the pots, smoked the marijuana, ate the marijuana, if you will. In high school, in my summers, before I started working, I went on teen tours. And for those of you that don't know what teen tours are, it's basically a camp that travels. So I was going all over the United States, Canada, Mexico. And then lucky enough, my last summer of doing teen tours, which was going into my junior year of high school, I believe, I went to Europe. So I was in Europe for like 6 weeks. And I actually ironically went with a Jewish company. So our last stop before going home, we were in Amsterdam. And it was our last night. And essentially, it was like the purge. Our last night, we were told that they were going to sleep our counselors at a certain time. And they were not going to ask questions the next day. They were not going to do anything. We don't want to know. Have a good night at a certain time. So everything that we weren't allowed to do through the duration of the trip that could potentially get us kicked off or do this, do that was legal, I guess. So initially I was a little puss. Like we had already drank whatever, because in Europe and also in the Jewish religion on Shabbat, it's customary to drink. Initially I was a little puss and really had to convince myself into smoking and doing it because I was only, I think, 15 years old and I was going to be 16 and I was super nervous and I was like, I'm going to be that statistic. I was trying to convince myself into smoking and doing it. I was really in that mental state of like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I got the asthma, blah, blah, blah. And clearly my friends knew that I was nervous. So I was talking to them and they're like, Lindsay, you're gonna be fine. Like trying to convince me. And I was just like, I don't know, I'm gonna decide later. Like I just could not get on it and think of what I wanted to do. I went into our friend's room and we had a plan that night. I was like, okay, regardless, I'm just gonna be there. Like I want to experience this with you guys, whatever. I get into my friend's room and they're like, oh, you want a brownie? Thinking that they like got it from the buffet downstairs from when we had dinner. And so they decided to trick me, obviously. And me being the little gullible idiot that I am, I believe them that it was just a brownie. By the way, I'm allergic to nuts. So initially I was like, wait, is there nuts in this? Like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, Lindsay, it's fine. I was like, all right, I guess so. I go in, I eat it full force and with a huge ass bite. And everyone just looks at me and their faces turn white and like their mouths drop. I'm like, what the fuck? Has no one ever seen anyone eat a brownie before? I'm like, what's going on? They go, you just ate an edible. So my eyes go wide and I'm like, well, if this wasn't a sign to get high, this was it. So I'm sitting there. I'm not feeling anything for 20 minutes, which everybody knows the magic words to making an edible come to life and work is saying, I don't feel it yet. And so we're all just chatting. Everybody's passing around this elephant bong that my friend had gotten. We're hotboxing the room. There's the whole freaking red light district across from us on the canals. Gay pride was going on. It was incredible. Didn't hit the bong because I just was like, I don't want to fuck up, like blah, blah, blah. So I was already paranoid enough. Whatever. So then I go, why do I feel so giddy? And I legit felt like I could run a marathon, which is weird because most people when they're high don't feel like they can do it. They kind of just chill and sit. So I was like amped up. Then all of a sudden in the corner, I see in the room. So there was like a bed against the wall and two night tables. So it was like in the middle and there was a couch. So I was sitting on the couch. So in one of the corners with the night table, I look over and there's a fucking panda bear. And I start bugging the fuck out. I start grabbing my friend's hands. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. They're like, Lindsay, what the fuck is going on? I go, do you not see that fucking panda? But he was just all cool and sitting there. And I just kept looking at him. And they're like, Lindsay, there's no fucking panda. And I'm just like bugging the fuck out. And I am staring, literally like hardcore resting bitch face staring at this fucking panda that I'm seeing. And he's just there. So after a while, I was like too nervous to smoke again. And I was just like, you know what? This is it. I also believe that it is a myth that you don't get high the first time you smoke. And then the next time, because I know plenty of people that have smoked first, not through a blunt or a joint, through bongs they've gotten high or even little bubblers. I mean, obviously I fucking took an edible. Obviously I was gonna get hot. So for a while after that, I was too nervous to smoke again because I was just scarred from the panda experience. So then all throughout the beginning of my freshman year of college, I became a pothead and I was hanging out with a group of people. And then because of this, I just built up a quote unquote tolerance. And lo and behold, every single time there was my panda. I became so obsessed with smoking weed. Sometimes I knew how to make a bong with an apple. I knew everything. Well, no, I didn't know everything. Everyone had to teach me things. And then I knew it from there. But I built up such a tolerance that it really does take a lot for me to get high now. I mean, I haven't smoked in quite some time or taken an edible. The last time I really saw him was like summer 2017. It was my degenerate summer with one of my best friends, I call it. I would just see this panda and I haven't seen this panda in so long because I've never gotten myself to get to the point of being that high again. And if I do get to that point, I have to be with that certain friend because I just trust him more than I would trust anybody else. But that's just my experience. And I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous and made up, but I swear on my life that it's the most true thing that's ever happened. And so I have yet to get dumb high again and see my panda. So maybe one day. Like I said, I took this to the streets. And let me tell you, I know some funny motherfuckers. Not just with getting high, not just with drinking, but like they're funny people in general that you almost just aren't surprised that this shit would happen to them. So without further ado, here are some other great stories from everybody else. So I think I'm gonna stick with getting high first and all those type of stories, and then we'll move on to the drunk ones. So someone once said that one time I was high, I thought I lost my tongue, so I started talking like I didn't have a tongue all night. When I first read that, I was like, okay, let me imagine that. So I'm thinking, if I was feeling something like this, or something like this where like your tongue is numb after you go to the dentist, if anybody could understand what I just said, I give you so much props. But I think that's kind of funny. I feel like a lot of people that I know have dealt with feeling like they're losing a limb or something part of their body. And they're like, oh, I can't feel my legs, my hands, my feet, whatever. But I think the tongue is a funny one because you just don't know how to act once you don't feel your tongue, I guess. It just goes out the door. I don't know. I've never experienced that. I kind of don't want to. No offense. Someone also said, I took three gravity bong hits in the back of my friend's car in 12th grade on senior skip day and went to the movies to see fucking American Sniper with about 20 friends and had a full-on panic attack and had had to leave the movie theater. Wait, oh my, I just got a, first of all, 3 gravity bong hits. You are a champ. Also a fucking psychopath. It takes a lot of guts not only to take 1 gravity bong hit, but 3. Oh my god, American Sniper. So literally it must have felt like this person was in the movie feeling everything that was happening. But that reminded me of a story of one time when I went to go get high, but I never ended up actually getting high. So me and 2 of my guy friends freshman year, we used to go to this little place where everybody would smoke, and it was right behind our dorm building. And I used to be so paranoid, and I've learned over the years not to be as paranoid anymore. So we're in the place and we're like packing our bowl, getting ready to, you know, do the deed of smoking. And I'm just like looking all around. Guys, I gotta go. And I was also the only girl. So this was also during the time, it's probably almost like 4 years ago to the day. I don't remember the day it happened. It was when those killer clown fucking shitheads were running around town and being all crazy motherfuckers. So I don't know why my 2 guy friends were like, okay, Lindsay, you could walk in front of us. So it was basically the 3 of us in a line walking back towards campus, and we were walking straight ahead, and I turned to my left because a car was coming because it was at a stop sign, and a fucking clown sticks its head out, and I fucking hate clowns. And I was like, oh my god. I threw one of my friends like across from me. The other friend I like jumped on top of. Nobody could leave me that night because I was actually terrified. My roommate went home for the weekend, and so I'm on the phone. I go, why would you leave me to go home? I was so dramatic about it, but it was actually fucking terrifying, and I never want to experience that again. So I can only imagine what 3 gravity bong hits and seeing American Sniper felt like. I think something else that people need to realize when it comes to being high is mastering how to try and disguise being high, because more than likely you're going to get caught being high. No one's gonna ever say anything unless, like, you know, you're in a situation where you're really getting caught badly. But when you're going out to eat after or you're in a store, people can 110% tell when you're high. So this next story is a prime example of that. So someone wrote in and said, I got high and went to this diner and I got a side of fries. The waiter had asked me how many, which caught me off guard. So I was like, huh? Like the amount that it comes with? He was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, just the regular, I guess. And he says, okay, that's 64 fries. So then when she got her fries, I made my friends count them with me and got very upset when we lost count. Turns out the guy was just messing with me. So clearly he knew that she was under the influence and that she was in no way comprehending what was truly going on because she was just, you know, in outer space or whatever. But I find it actually funny because you definitely feel a lot more once you're high and you're just laughing and giddy and definitely 110 times more concentrated than you normally would be. I just think that that is just a prime example of messing with someone while they're under the influence. And I honestly commend those people because those are the people that are like, oh man, I wish I was you right now. Like, this is funny. They're not the assholes that are like, fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Oh my god, how could I forget this? Okay, so a friend from my freshman year of college reminded me of this experience that we had had together. Bring you back to it. It was 420. We all were debating if we really wanted to smoke. It was freshman year, you know, it was our first time with 420 being away. We really could do whatever we want, get as high as we wanted, get as drunk as we wanted, whatever. So we all decided that we were going to take an edible. Excellent, great. We knew a guy, he really cooked us up, and our one friend was able to go and get it for us. She had gotten like an immense amount or whatever, or she smoked with him beforehand and then picked it up. I don't know what exactly happened, but we all had plans to go out that night, and then we were gonna meet up somehow if we weren't at the same party. So there was 5 of us. Our one friend that picked up just ended up being so beyond high she didn't make it out. So she gave us all of our shit and was like, good night everybody. She literally just slept it out, didn't even get to enjoy being high with us. So we all took it. So then me and my other friend decided that it would be a good idea to freaking chug 4 locos in my shower, and then we were gonna go out because we were all like, what the hell? And we only had eaten halves of what we had gotten. And everybody knows, like I said before, you're like, oh, I don't feel it. I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. Everybody needs to stop doing that because at some point it will hit, okay? So we were like, okay, let's do this. And then at the party, we'll try and finesse some more weed. We had gone to one party and our other 2 friends went to another, and they had finished their edibles. We weren't exactly there yet. So we went to this party. We drank more. It was a frat party. We had jungle juice, keg stands, everything. Everybody was sharing blunts, passing around. I was so crossed, and I've never felt this way ever in my life. I remember there was a fire pit outside, and I was just sitting at this fire pit and I stared into it, and my one friend will tell you to this day, she just saw it in my face where I was just gonzo. It wasn't like I was blacked out or anything because I didn't throw up. I didn't do anything. I was fine the rest of the night. I just was like, knock, knock, anyone's home? Like, I was just in my own little world. No one and nothing could bother me at that point. But our 2 other friends that weren't with us and that we were supposed to meet up with, but we ended up not, she and our other friend took the edible and then went to a different party, and she literally thought she was on the Truman Show. They were scared of trees walking back to our dorm because a lot of where we were was within walking distance, and they were just really struggling hardcore with getting back to the dorm because also they wanted to avoid RAs, avoid seeing anyone that could possibly actually get them in trouble. It was a process to get them back. Thank God one of them, they had their boyfriend there with us to really help navigate getting them home. But next day we were like, what the hell even happened? We didn't even know if we were together at that point. But that was a 420 to not remember, but never to forget, if that makes sense, you know? So with that, I think a lot of high stories end up being very repetitive. And don't get me wrong, every single one of them somehow end up being funny and always end up with people laughing during it, getting super paranoid, confused, days in a haze. You don't really remember, but you do remember where you are. You start thinking of all these different possible things. And I think it's a very exciting thing when you do get high or watching someone get high for the first time. However, I am so fucking set on drunk stories being 10 times funnier than high stories. Now, that's to agree or disagree, but there's nobody fucking funnier than my fucking friends or my fucking listeners that have told me their best drunk stories, okay? There are some that have really got me going, brought me back to memories of me feeling certain ways when I was drunk. I love watching people put their drunk stories for everybody in the world to see on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, somehow. I love watching drunk moms. I think that's hysterical because then they get a little frisky. My friends are fucking funny. So I'm gonna start out with one by my friend who quite literally, in the short time that I've known her, has made me laugh more times than I could ever imagine from one person in such a short amount of time. I've experienced being drunk with her, but I will never forget the day I got this text from her about what had happened on her spring break trip. Now, everybody knows spring break is the end-all be-all for college students, especially. You let loose. It's more than likely your last soiree of being undergrad, young, degenerate, reckless, whatever. And I'm sorry to those because of COVID that have lost spring break because of all the semester shits. I really feel bad for you, but I'm gonna sulk and I'm gonna be the asshole and say I'm so thankful I had my fucking spring break. I went to Miami Beach, had the best fucking time. There are people that have gone to Cabo, they have gone to Cancun, they have gone to South Padre Island, I think it's called, in Texas. Whatever, wherever you end up going with your friends, you always end up having a great time. And a lot of people go where a lot of the majority of people from their school go. So my friend that I'm talking about in this instance went to Cabo with her school our junior year. So I was like, I need you to tell the story. So basically, she thought what was going to be a low-key day, since half of her school had already left and gone back to school from the trip, that it wouldn't be as much of a day as it was. So instead of getting breakfast, she got a pina colada. Smart move. Then they went to the pool for the day and took many, 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 many shots. And she woke up with everyone standing over her and ice on her head. And she was told that she got carried out of the pool, put into bed, and then her friends left to go to dinner and came back. And her head quite literally looked like there was another person growing on it. When I tell you there was like a growth growing on her forehead that literally, not even saying it looked like the most ginormous pimple you've ever seen, but saying that it looked like someone literally hit her on the head with a bat and it just swelled. I have never seen a bump like that in my life. Knowing her and how she is, it was hysterical, but also you're like, holy shit, like, are you concussed? I don't know how she wasn't. She was more than capable of being fine afterward. And I give her so much credit because she rocked the fucking bump and she continued to get fucked up to this day. And I have much respect for that. So then this one. This one, I didn't know how I felt. I texted my one guy friend. I was like, listen, I need you to give me the juiciest, funniest story that has ever happened to you while being drunk or high. And mind you, he also is a barback, so he gets drunk a lot. He sees a lot of drunk things happen. But this, I couldn't wrap my head around how he got himself to this point. So he told me my sophomore year, I was hanging out with my soon-to-be girlfriend when I unexpectedly started yakking all over the place. Her and my roommates put me to bed and put a garbage can near me. I got up shortly after to try and poop in the can, but I missed. I woke up the next morning vaguely remembering what happened, but was nonetheless clean. My roommate said that this girl, who wasn't even my girlfriend at the time, not just cleaned the shit off the floor, but me as well. To make it up to her, I bought her chocolate the next day, only to realize that I literally should have bought her anything else besides chocolate after I'd already given it to her. So let that sink in. Like, how dumb could you be, first of all, to buy her fucking chocolate? Get her flowers, buy her dinner, and call it a day. She fucking wiped your ass, goddammit, and picked your shit up off the floor. I mean, granted, they aren't together anymore, but what's meant to be will be. But let me tell you, ladies, you are a godsend for doing that, and any guy that, if you do that for him, should be honored and lucky to have said that you wiped their ass and that they got to hit that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I could have done that. This one is a personal favorite of mine. This person is very, very near and dear to my heart. The one thing that I found that is very consistent in her drinking habits is that there's two different factors. One, she always ends up passing out no matter where we are. Ubers, couches, bathrooms, dozing off at the bar, pizza places. She just eat her pizza, she'll finish a drink, and then it's kind of just like almost like lights out. But then the other thing is she constantly always feels the need that she has to pee somewhere. There have been times where she has woken up from like napping, but is still very much intoxicated, that she will go to pee when she just sits up, whether that be on the stairs, on the carpet, in the sink. Every single time without fail, she just thinks the toilet is gonna follow her after she's done going out or whatever. She's never done it, well, in front of me. She's never done it in public at the bar or anything like that, but she has done it when we get back to someone's house or when we go take a nap somewhere. It is something that she has constantly always done and somehow never remembers that she does it. People always have to tell her, which I get goes with all the blacking out shit, but without fail, she just thinks the bathroom follows her everywhere. Now, for me personally, I've never had that issue. Sometimes if I feel like I'm gonna vomit, I'm also the type of person that when I'm drunk and I'm gonna puke and yak, it's always the night of, it's never the next day. My hangovers don't usually get that bad. I'll feel a little gaggy, I'll sleep it off, crack my back, feel a little woozy, and then 20 minutes later, I'm fine. I always get sick the night of. She, who pees the night of, will get sick the next day, never the night of, which is something I'm almost sometimes envious of, but to each their own. Another story that I thought was this special one. I slept in the hockey team of my school's equipment room on the floor with my friends after saving one of my other friends from a guy she did not want to have sex with that night and not being able to get a ride home. So the next day we had a walk of shame when none of us actually ever ended up doing anything with any of the guys on the team. Now, my whole question is, what did that room smell like? Because not only did it probably reek of alcohol because of a party, but it probably most likely reeked of body odor. And the fact that you were so committed, even in that drunk state, to saving your friend and to sleep in such a room of nastiness is what I like to call an A-plus friend. So I commend you immensely for that. This story is actually about a friend of a friend. She once got lost in a frat house for 6 hours because she turned her phone off so no one would find her. My question is, how big is that frat house to get lost? Like, I get you're drunk, but I feel like even in that state, I would be like, okay, I know where I'm going. I keep going to the same place. Actually, no, I disagree with myself, but I don't know if I can wrap myself. Do you hear this fucking annoying chair? I just don't think I could get myself to get lost like that. I think that's a little scary, especially in a frat house. I don't trust motherfuckers like that. They would be like, yo, baby, you're lost. Come to my room. Like, no, get the fuck out of here. Absolutely not. I mean, she somehow was found and she's okay now, I'm pretty sure, but good for you for pushing through. Another good freshman year memory was when our other friend was talking to this guy. Now, she had really liked the kid. We weren't really sure where his head was at. And at the time, all of us were a bit timid to be like, yo, so how do you feel about our friend over here? And our one friend, balls to the wall, drunk as a skunk. Ooh, I like that saying. Cornered him at a party when we were all talking and hanging out. All of a sudden, just corners him and says, you know what? She's a great girl, blah, blah, blah. She really likes you. And just says to him, are you a pussy or are you a pussy? And he was like, what the fuck are you saying? He was just laughing the entire time. But then I think the pussy, you know, statement really got to him. And guess what? 3 years later, they are now happily dating. And if it weren't for our friend's drunken happiness and cornering, I don't know if that situation would have ended up the way it did. Probably, but still, I would like to think it was all thanks to her. Now, I don't know if anybody else likes to do this when they're drunk, but I am the type of person, I love to FaceTime and call everybody when I'm drunk. I have called my mom. I have called my uncle. I have called my cousin. I have called my friends. I have called ex-boyfriends, ex-things. I have called my sister and she thinks it's hysterical. My mom's like, are you safe? Are you safe? My uncle is like, man, I wish I was with. My friends will be like, oh man, Linz, like you gotta get home, whatever. I just love talking to people. I'm like, wait, look at this person. Wait, say hi, ha ha ha. But then sometimes I'm also the idiot that when I start calling these people, I forget that I'm always on aux. So then the music stops, it gets a little awkward. So then I have to hang up or I have to give someone else the aux and God forbid I do that. That's something that I've always noticed that I like to do as well. I also have a friend that she's like this when she's sober. She has to shower and has this whole routine right before bed. She has to wash her face. She has to brush her teeth. She has to take off all of her jewelry. She has to shower, wash her hair. She will do it all blackout drunk still. And literally she won't remember doing it, but she'll wake up. She'll feel her hair is wet. Her toothbrush is wet. Her jewelry is off. Her makeup is off. Somehow, some way, she is so capable of doing that even in her most blackout state. And I idolize that and I'm very jealous of it. Another moment of mine that I truly do not know how it happens to me. My first year at Temple, that week, my first time going to a legit frat party. And everybody knows what goes down. It was like I was a freshman again, essentially, because I was experiencing those frats for the first time. Not only did I get beyond fucked up, I drank a lot of tequila, as I always do. I didn't really get sick at all either. I had hooked up with someone on the dance floor, and I hooked up with another person on the dance floor. I woke up, had this ginormous hickey on my neck. Don't know how that got there. And don't really remember much, but dancing and kissing these people. Perfectly fine. that weekend we had our first tailgate for our first home game. Super exciting. My best friend was coming down to visit. We'd all gone out that Friday night. We didn't get too fucked up, but it was still like a good night. So next day we wake up early and I'm feeling a little funky. I'm like, what the heck? Why is anyone else's throat bothering them? So we're all like, actually, yeah, like I think it was just because it was really cold. So I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Felt great throughout the day, whatever. Blacked out, drank so many Trulies, and we got back to our apartment. We were like, okay, we're gonna take a nap, boot and rally for tonight. So we're sleeping, whatever. I woke up all of a sudden to go pee. My head felt like a bowling ball. I go to the bathroom and I go to swallow. My throat is on fire, legit scratching down. It was actually god awful. And then I open up my mouth and my tonsils, here's where it's gonna get graphic, were so fucking swollen. They were white, whatever. You can only imagine. So I wake up my friend that's visiting because she had drove to Philly. And I was like, yeah, you need to take me to like urgent care right now. Went to urgent care. And guess what? Lindsay got strep throat. So guess who didn't get to go out that night? I had a fever. It was terrible. Now, everybody, I don't want to bore you anymore or make you laugh anymore or make you feel some type of way anymore. But the last story I want to share is truly one for the books. It's not about me. It's about my good degenerate friend that I was telling you about. And his stories just put the icing on the cake so beyond perfectly that I almost don't know how else to react to them but just be in awe, because it's the shit that you just don't think would ever happen to anybody. But of course, he is the man with many words, many stories, many experiences. So this is what he came up with that was best for the drunken high boys and girls. Thinking about the time that I was crossed at Ultra Music Festival and my friend had sex with a stranger in a porta potty. So he ended up lashing onto our group for the entire night, and when it was time to leave at like 3 o'clock in the morning, he was like, how are you guys getting home? And we were like, ghetto Uber, I don't know. And he was like, oh my god, no, don't worry, and drove us 30 minutes home to the University of Miami in his fucking G-Wagon. Except the scary part was I was so fucked up that when I came back to sobriety, or like living again, it was halfway home and I had no idea who was driving. I was legit crying but too high to ask who was driving us and why we were in a G-Wagon, so we were a little too comfortable. But then there was also this classic time that I was sitting at a closed cookout drive-thru for 45 minutes with three of my friends just talking and listening to music before we actually realized it was closed and no one was ever gonna take out our order. Now, if this doesn't give you a little bit of a insight onto who this person is or what their lifestyle is like or how they just do the shit that they do, the amount of videos I've gotten of him saying, Lindsay, why the fuck are you awake? It's just hysterical. And yes, I understand this isn't everyone's cup of tea and not everybody's gonna find this funny, but I think this stuff is like pretty fucking hysterical. And I think for a lot of people, especially those who maybe are younger and are thinking about trying this stuff, not condoning underage drinking, because why would you ever do that? You have to be of the age of 21. God damn it. I think this is kind of something to think about of, okay, this is what could happen. Know your limits. Set yourself up for the stage. Don't worry too much about it. Have fun, but, you know, just look out for one another. And I think that's a big thing a lot of people in college have to realize is even though you all could be so fucked up and so obsessed with having a good time and drinking and smoking and doing whatever the fuck you want, you also have to have that logical common sense in the back of your head being like, okay, but you gotta be a little smart about it this time. You know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong, that's not gonna happen every single fucking time that you get drunk or that you get high, but you kind of also have to go into it thinking, all right, how's this night gonna go? And also, don't let it ruin your night. I think it's also a big mental, okay, I'm gonna have fun, we're gonna let loose, we're gonna drink. And also, a lot of people gotta get past the whole taste thing. Like, some people are like, oh my god, no, I love the taste of vodka, I love the taste of spud. Bull fucking shit, you're all liars. You're lying straight through your teeth. Vodka is the worst tasting alcohol in the entire fucking universe. I don't wanna hear shit about that, okay? I mean, I'm a psychopath. I love tequila because I like the way it makes me feel, but I'm not saying that it necessarily always tastes delicious. I don't take a shot of Jose Cuervo and be like, oh my god, in my pants. You know what I'm saying? You have to get past the taste. It's the feeling. You gotta be like, oh, it tastes so. Yes, White Claws taste good. The fruity shit tastes good, where you can't taste the alcohol. But when you're really just trying to get like fucked up, if you're getting go, and you wanna take shots, that's never gonna taste good. Make sure tequila, lick, sip, suck. Everybody knows the rules. And honestly, even if you're taking a vodka shot, which I have no idea why you would ever wanna do that, make sure you have a lemon next to you too, because, or lime, because it makes it a little bit easier to, you know, pass down. But I honestly think if you're doing that, you're just drinking straight hand sanitizer. I'm sorry. Maybe it'll help you with the coronavirus. I have no idea. But no, that is not for me. Just be smart, be safe. I hope this was fun and funny for you all as much as it was for me reading all of them. There were so many that I had that I just really needed to condense it down to the ones that I felt were the most fun. But this was something for the books, and I would love to do something like this again. So let me know what you think about it. All right. Now, wasn't that fun? I really thoroughly, very much so enjoyed that beyond belief. Kind of jumping from that, you know, I couldn't go with this episode without talking about the fucking Bachelorette. Because I'm just so invested in the season, and I hate that I am so invested. So clearly, once again, Lindsay procrastinated and recorded a lot later than she wanted to. But I think it's all for good reason, because I think I end up getting a lot better episodes out of it because of the pressure and because of the way I think. Anywho, hear me out. This season of The Bachelorette might have been curated in the best way possible, but for us to hate and love it at the same time. Do you follow what I'm saying? I was talking about this with Maria. Also, I want to give a quick shout out to my friend Victoria. She's part of the Moral Hangover podcast. She is literally the reason why Jappy Jaws is up and running, and I absolutely fucking love her. She is a gem. She has helped me and this podcast so much. So if you haven't listened to the Moral Hangover, please go do so. Her and Katie Dombrowski are so funny, so knowledgeable, but we were both talking about it, and Maria and I, we are just like, what the fuck? I feel like on Twitter, I love looking at it and liking and tweeting, especially people from Bachelor Nation like Tyler Cameron, Caitlin Bristow, Dylan Barber. But I love watching all of them react to it and how they feel. But this season, we might as well just call it Bachelor Dale. Not the Bachelorette, Bachelor Dale. And it's not even like he's the Bachelor, because that is what we just see. It's Dale, 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 Chippendale, Chippendale, Clarendale, Clarendale. I am tired of it. And the fact that the episode the other night was literally so focused on him, and don't get me wrong, he is a hunk of muffin. He is so sexy. He is fine like a glass of fucking wine. But when you're the Bachelorette and you are amped up to be this person, you go through training, you go through all these different steps to become the Bachelorette, to understand how the process works. She's been on Paradise twice, she was on Winter Games, she was on The Bachelor. She's supposed to know how this works, and I understand knowing and having a type of what you want from the get-go. I truly do. But when you are literally not opening your eyes, when you're saying, oh, there's such a chance, when you said last week, more than just Dale, my respect for you is slowly, slowly, slowly decreasing. And honestly, I was reading a lot of Reddit threads, I was reading a lot of insight and spoilers, and I know Maria is such a hardcore spoiler person too. I get too antsy. I need to know what happens at all times. My theory is, I think that the producers, Mike Fleiss, you know what you're doing, my friend. You know what the fuck you're doing. They set this up so that they could kick her off and they could put Tayshia in. The Tayshia commercial trailer thing at the end was sweet as candy. I was so sick and tired of all the shit last night. I think the date with Zach J was very weird, constructed weirdly. I understand the triggers from her abusive relationship and everything of that end. I am with her. I understand what she's feeling. Her feelings are valid. However, the date was weird to begin with, but I just think in a way, and this isn't me going against her feelings because obviously I wasn't there. I'm reacting to what I'm seeing on television. I think that she was making it seem and trying to get it to a place where she was trying to find a reason to send him home so that she can just keep dropping these guys like flies, so it just ends up being her and Dale in the end, which is not how you fucking essentially play Bachelorette. That's not how it works. So I was pretty pissed off about that. I'm so curious to see what's going to happen. I cannot wait for Tuesday. I truly cannot. I wish I could be like doing this live with you guys so you could see my reactions. I think Marie and I are actually going to FaceTime and watch it because we are just so intrigued to see how she handles it, how Chris Harrison handles it. Chris Harrison, do you want to come on this podcast? I think you and I would have a really great conversation. Also, I think I would be a better Bachelorette. We haven't seen what Tayshia has to offer yet. I'm sure she's going to do a great job, but I think it's time that you bring the Jappy Jaw on the show. And you did it with Matt James, so nobody knows me. I think it'd be interesting. I'm a young, fun gal. I could take the heat, all right? I'm a big girl. I can handle myself, so let's have a conversation. But I'm very curious to see how this plays out. I wonder what this is going to mean for the guys. And honestly, if I were those guys, I would be so freaking frustrated too, and I feel like we really did get to see that a lot this past episode because of how much time she was spending with Dale. I mean, the fucking group date, they were gone for, what, 40, 50 minutes? That's not fair. You only had a extended cocktail party because you didn't want to do a date, which is fine, but don't play around like that just so you can have that extra one-on-one time with just that one person. You might as well have just given him the date card at that point. You're wasting everybody's time, and they were really picking up on it. And like I said before, these guys, I truly, truly do believe are, I hate saying it like this, here for the right reasons, okay? So I'm very curious to see how that plays out. And this is also becoming a lot more of like Bachelorette obsessed, and I'm sorry. And if you don't like The Bachelorette, feel free to skip through, but please let me know what you're feeling. Let Marie Rhea know what you're feeling. She is my go-to, my right-hand man when it comes to this stuff. Holler at us. Let us know what you think. And now, I feel like I've overdone it. I feel like I've tired you all out. But what would the Jappy Jaw episode be without the fucking post-grad doozy motherfuckers? This week, I have two really good topics. Doozies. Realizations, if you will. So the first one that I want to talk about, this I've noticed especially since graduating, since quarantine 2-ish, and a lot of my other friends that have been post-grad beforehand have experienced this, and we've talked about this, is staying in touch and keeping in touch with people from college and people from home if you're moving home or whatever. Now, for me personally, I've always been the person, I reach out to people. I like talking to people. I've used to be a lot better at it. I'm not very good with my phone. Like I've said before, I don't like texting. I much rather you call me. I like having those long FaceTime calls. Yes, I'll still text you, don't get me wrong, but I get much more out of a conversation with someone on the phone. People have lives. People get busy. Totally understandable. But I think I realized a lot. You can put in a lot of effort, but you have to recognize the effort that that person or persons are giving back to you. I used to be so mad if people didn't include me, reach out to me, giving the effort that I was giving them. And I'm not perfect. Nobody is. But you have to pick and choose your battles. There are some people I can go weeks, months without talking to and pick up right where I left off. And that's perfectly fine. But when you're also trying to do that with people, and you can kind of tell in their language and how they're responding to you that they're just not interested, or it's kind of like that they're going away, you're outgrowing them, which is perfectly fine. That's what happens in life, unfortunately. Like, people that you thought were going to be there forever, and I've said this before, aren't always going to be there forever, and that's fine. But it's the effort you make, the energy you put in. And yes, it's hard. Some people are in grad school, medical school, law school. Some people are doing jobs. My best friend from college moved away to Hawaii for a job, and I am so beyond proud of her for that. I am jealous. And obviously, it's a lot harder because there's a major time difference, and we make it work. We don't talk every single day. We're used to seeing each other almost every day at school. So when quarantine hit, that was a big thing on us because, yeah, we're still talking every day, but we were so used to like, oh, do you want to come to my place? Oh, do you want to meet at the bar? Do you want to go meet on campus? Do you want to meet at the library? Whatever. We were so used to doing that that we were forced into kind of having to text all the time instead of being together, being on the phone, making FaceTime dates, making time to see each other. And in a way, I guess it helped us when she moved away because now we have to figure out a whole new plan of talking, because when it's nighttime here, it's daytime there. And we truly do make it work. And I think our friendship is stronger at the end of the day. But I was talking to some other people. I'm always asking other people how their certain friends are doing and what they're up to, because I just like knowing what other people are doing. I'm nosy. And when you talk to friends, you talk about other friends. It's bound to happen. And she was saying, she's like, I honestly feel like a bad person sometimes, but I feel like I'm always the one reaching out that I kind of notice that when I stop to, who also stops like reciprocating it. At the end of the day, it sucks. It's annoying, whatever, but you kind of have to take it and run with it in whichever way you can. And yeah, it's annoying because you spent 4 years, 6 years, however long with these people. But if it's not meant to be and it's not working out in your favor anymore and there's no energy put in on both ends, and yes, it's hard. Life gets in the way. We're all busy, but you make time for the people you care about. You make time for others. And whether that's talking once a week for a few hours on the phone or over text, or sending the, hey, just thinking about you type thing, goes so much more of a long way instead of just wondering the what ifs of what happened in that relationship. And like I said, and I'll say it again, it's hard. It's really fucking hard. And I think it was harder for me staying in touch with certain people once I transferred too, because of how everything went down, me trying and then some people not reciprocating in the way that I would have hoped that they would. And that's something you kind of just have to take and understand that, okay, maybe it's not a me thing. If they don't want it, I'm not going to push it anymore, you know? So staying in touch is really like an energy focused thing. And that's something I've realized being in post-grad. Now, the second little thing, and I'm not going to go into this too much because my next episode next week is going to talk a lot more about this. And this isn't even just like a post-grad thing that I've realized. This is just like a life thing. Immaturity never leaves anyone. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you're a boy, if you're a girl, immaturity never leaves. You are constantly seeing it. I see it in fucking people my parents' age. I see it everywhere. And it's something that I always talk about with my sister, because my sister's at the age where she's maturing, but she's still immature in certain areas. And that's normal. They're teenagers. They're going through that. They're going through puberty, the ups and downs, the hormones, whatever. But back in the day, when I was that 16-year-old, I was like, oh, this is going to get easier. Everybody's going to mature within time. And don't get me wrong, people do mature, but that doesn't mean they're the maturest people ever. You don't just become like the most wise person overnight. It comes with experience. It comes with growth. It comes with life. Like,
Like, I don't know how else to put it. And also, people need to stop thinking that there is, like, this end point of maturity, because I don't think you could ever be too mature, immature, whatever. You never just get to that point where there's a finish line. Does that make sense? You're always going to be immature in some way, which is fine. Like, you're going to be a kid at heart always. There are certain things my fucking grandma does. I'm not telling you her age because that is rude. I would never disrespect her like that. But obviously, grandmas are a lot older than someone my age. And she has her little, like, quirks about her that are immature too. And her friend's her age. And she constantly always tells me this when I complain about certain situations. She goes, it never ends. And I'm always getting angry and I'm always asking, why doesn't it end? I don't understand. But the thing is, you're not supposed to understand. It's supposed to be part of life. You have to grow with it. And yes, it's annoying as hell, especially when it comes to relationships and being with people that are immature or need to mature more, because not that you need to be with them, but in order to be with them in the future, past, present, they needed to act a little bit differently. We've all been there. We've all dealt with it. It's something that if it's not giving you happiness or purpose or drive or fulfillment and you don't see it changing, say maybe it will in the future. I don't want to say give an ultimatum, but be like, this isn't working for me. See if it could work itself out, or say sniff, smell, see you later. But I'm going to end it right there. I'll leave you on a little bit of like, I want to see what more you have to say about that. But next week, I promise, we are going to go in depth with that with other things too. But I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. I had a lot of fun recording this. I took a little bit more time than I wanted to, which what else would I fucking do? Please, 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 a billion and one times, please share the episodes, subscribe, review, rate it, whatever the fuck you got to do. Follow me on Instagram at LINDSAYYANYAA. And follow, of course, the Jappy Joe. Instagram, JAPPYJAWS, for all info, all polls, all questions, all information regarding the podcast. You guys are the absolute best, and I can't thank you enough. Please share, please share, please share. I want to spread the Jappy Jaw knowledge. But with that being said, I will see you all on Thursday.